Great to be with you on this Thursday, the 6th of December. Karen Durante standing in for Tiger Bales today, and I'll be with you tomorrow, of course. Before we begin, I'd firstly like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. And hello to you if you're listening to Let's Talk through 98.9 FM here in Brisbane, on the National Indigenous Radio Service, or on the World Wide Web at 98.9fm.com.au. Thanks so much for listening. Now today I'm joined by Emma Woodward. Now Emma is an Indigenous knowledge researcher for the CSIRO Ecosystem Sciences at the Tropical Ecosystems Research Centre in Darwin. Great to have you along, Emma.
Oh, thanks, Karen.
That's quite a title you have there. Essentially, tell us a bit about yourself and what your job is.
Sure. Well, for the past 10 years or so, I've been residing on Larrakia country up in Darwin. I'm not actually from this knowledge, so it can be put in big seasonal calendars and then communicated in a better way both to government agencies and policymakers and to kids and schools who want to learn more about this information.
How did you get interested in this field?
Oh, well, probably started back about 10 years ago. I spent some time and passing on that knowledge to young kids.
And the country up there must be vastly different to where you grew up in Western
Absolutely.
Australia.
Yeah, so look, it sucks me in pretty quickly. I think from the moment I stepped off the plane into the middle of the monsoon in March, I thought I'd actually gone to a different world. It couldn't be much different, but yeah.
You said before when you started looking into this field, you were really excited that there's this entire, you know, knowledge system that, you know, you weren't aware of growing up and what you suspect other Australians like yourself have no sort of knowledge of. When you began in this field, was there an appreciation of that knowledge system, and have you seen it that appreciation grow, or has it remained kind of static?
I think people's interest, so they're not related to, you know, the months of the year that non-Indigenous people refer to, January, February, March, you know.
The Gregorian calendar, that one.
Exactly. But, you know, they're looking for the different life stage cycles of the local speargrass. And they say, okay, well, when that is seen to be in existence, we know that that is that season. And so this kind of knowledge system is so different to, you know, how I was brought up. But it really makes sense. You know, you're looking at what's happening around you and making judgment calls about what's happening in the environment rather than expecting that, you know, okay, on the 1st of December it's summer, so therefore, you know, it should be hot and sunny. But getting back to your point about people, you know, really begin to engage more with this knowledge system, what we've found with the calendars is we've had overwhelming response, particularly from schools. For us, it's really exciting for the communities that have been part of it. They're incredibly proud of the calendars and the information that is in them, and they can use them as a communication tool to send people to say, actually, you know, this is how we use country. This is why it's important. This is why it's important that the water needs to remain in the rivers so that we can hunt these specific, you know, habitats at different times of the year. So, I think it's an exciting time, and I think, you know, there is a lot of demand for this information and people really want to engage with it.
Oh, look, in 13 seasons, just in this one example you've told us about, is that the most that you've come across so far in this research?
It is, and people tend to have like key seasons, and then there's also sub-seasons, which might... So it's these kind of connecting life cycle stages between plants and animals that are also really important and, you know, can tell us a lot about, you know, climate change and monitoring for change in the future. So it's another, you know, really important aspect of how this information might be used.
Mm. Now we're going to go and try and get Patricia on the line. But before we do that, I wonder if you can just explain the Daly River catchment area. I just get the impression that it's quite a large area and it feeds into a lot of other language groups.
Absolutely. So the Daly River catchment, it's about phone soon.
Emma, was it? How long did it take to put together this particular seasonal calendar?
We worked with people from the Daly River probably over a period of about 18 months to collect all that information. And I guess that was the first stage, actually, going back every month or so, spending from a couple of days to a week with the family group, going out on country, kind of learning by doing rather than just sitting in the community and writing down information. It was about, you know, learning about what was happening at different times of the year, observing it ourselves, taking lots of photos, and then writing down that big story for the whole, you know, 13 seasons of the year. And then it was a big process of actually deciding, well, out of all the information we had, what were we actually going to be able to fit into that piece of paper, that poster? And in the end, we probably got about 10% of what was had actually been documented about the seasons into the calendar. So I guess that's another important point to make. We've made this beautiful poster, but, you know, the amount of information that exists within the language groups about seasons is huge. And, you know, we had to make some tough decisions about what went in the poster and what stayed out.
What's this season right now?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we need to get Patricia on the phone for that, because I'd probably make a mistake. But
okay.
We're probably past Lirimum. That's a very humid period of the build-up time. I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm down in Perth, so I haven't been around to see what's happening with the weather out in the Daly River, but out of the monsoons, I don't think we're quite there yet. But somewhere between that very humid period of the build-up, Lirimum, and they say it's just before the thunder is heard and the river water is warm and the cicadas are singing and calling out for the rain. So that's probably my bet, but hopefully we'll get Patricia on the phone and she'll probably correct me.
Yeah, and if I'm looking at the right season, then this is pretty good turtle hunting season as well.
Yeah, look, I imagine all the ladies will be down at the billabongs pretty regularly now. The billabongs really dry out at this time of the year, and you've got a really large kind of mud expanse and probably just a small eye of the billabong left, which I know some of the billabongs have a crocodile that would be in the eye there with where the kind of bulrushes are, and people would be staying away from that area. But they have their big long digging sticks at the moment, and people would be wading out and prodding the mud with the stick and waiting to hear that little pop of the sound of hitting the back of a turtle shell, and then be the hard process of digging the turtle out of the mud. So, really good turtle hunting time coming up to the rains, and kind of increases, gets better as the weather gets hotter and the mud dries up more.
And when we're talking about turtles, we're talking about freshwater?
Yeah, yep. So long-necked turtles, short-necked turtles. There's about four different types of long and short-necked turtle, and there's also the pig-nosed turtle, which would be in the river or the billabong swimming around, which people would be fishing for as well. Maybe getting them on a line and a hook sometimes rather than digging them out of the mud. So really rich, plentiful country, the Daly River area. Turtle hunting is one of the number one pastimes this time of the year.
All right. And I've got the Ngani seasonal calendar in front of me, and I notice right at the centre there it's native honey. So that's available all year round.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. I think people have to know where to look for it all year round, depending on what's flowering and that kind of thing. You know, when you get that woolly butt flowering that eucalypt, gets really nice flavoured native honey. People look for, you know, tree hollows and old ant nests and also ground hives where native bees are making that honey. But, yep, that's if you know where to look, that's native honey can be found all year round. Yeah.
You were saying schools are interested in this resource that Aboriginal groups can obviously use that in terms of managing country and that sort of thing. Are there other parties who are interested in this kind of thing? I'm thinking of governments and certain local authorities, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So, you know, government agencies, particularly related, our project was related a lot to water management. So in the daily lives living in this area was, you know, probably not able to be prioritised by these government agencies because of the lack of resources they had. And so I guess I'd like to think we filled a little bit of that niche in that we were able to spend the time doing the research project, gathering all that information. We also did a really intensive household survey looking at how people were hunting and fishing at different times of the year to get a better idea of how people were using different habitats in the river as well as the billabongs, and then feed that information back to government so they could hopefully put it, you know, directly into their water plans and make good decisions about how people are using these areas. So I guess following on from that, people saw the seasonal calendars. There was a lot of interest in them because, you know, obviously very beautiful, got lots of pictures in them, all the different animals at different times of year they collected. And then we actually had governments in other areas. So in the Queensland government expressed interest in having us or someone else work with different groups that they were working with in relation to water management and saying, oh, you know, this would be a great way to document all that information and make sure that we're also taking into consideration, you know, what these groups want. So I think they're a really useful tool. You know, it's much better than just having a document with it all written down because it's hard for people to, you know, engage with that information that way. But if you've got a beautiful poster, then, you know, people really want to learn from that. And, yeah, there's definitely interest from governments to roll out more of these calendars.
Mm. Are you able to apply what CSIRO have done in these two catchment areas to other ecosystems, such as, you know, say, Torres Strait and the marine, you know, country there, sea country?
Absolutely. So there's lots of groups that are also working, you know, independently to create their own seasonal calendars, do it much more proficiently from when we first started. But yes, absolutely. Any ecosystem, anywhere that people are observing change in the environment and seasons, whether you're in the desert or up in the Torres Strait or anywhere around Australia, anyone can use this kind of format to put their information together, either, you know, with help from other people or independently.
Mm. What about protecting the intellectual property of Aboriginal groups? You know, is there a reluctance sometimes to share that information, even to well-intentioned research such as this, because there's a fear that, you know, it might be misappropriated or used without, you know, the proper consent?
Yep, that's a really good point, Karen. And I've certainly heard from groups in Northern Australia with their names on it, and any land councils, you know, have got their logos and that kind of thing. And we always, you know, make a big effort that when we're talking about this information in the kind of the science way, that we say, well, actually, this is all the information of that language group. It will remain so, regardless of whether it's documented, however it's written. That information, that Indigenous knowledge, remains the intellectual property of those groups.
Mm. Just an observation from what I've you know, seen and heard so far. You seem to work a lot with women in these communities.
Yes.
Are they the knowledge holders? I mean, where are the men?
Look, it's an interesting point. And a lot of people say that to me. They say, well, you know, you worked with women and each other was interested by men, which also may have, they may have been stopped from being involved because of the women that were involved. But, yeah, I don't know enough, Karen. I'll probably have to have a chat with some of those women about what they thought about that. There's also that men's knowledge, which probably may not have been
appropriate for the purpose,
included in the calendar as well. So we might actually be missing a bit of that information too.
Mm. I'm with Indigenous knowledge researcher Emma Woodward, and we are still really keen to hear from Patricia. So we shall try and get her on the phone again. If not, I think I'll be interested to hear about the experience of putting together a seasonal calendar in an urban setting, I suppose, because you've done one for Larrakia Mob, and that's you know, Darwin, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll try and get Patricia again here on Let's Talk, just to get her sort of perspective on all of this. Emma Woodward is our guest today on Let's Talk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Patricia, tell us firstly a bit about yourself, your mob and your country.
Well, my name's Patricia Marfura McTaggart, and I live at at Daly River in the Northern Territory.
Mm-hmm.
And my language is Ngen-Gomiri, and the other language that we speak is Ngen-Gikurungur.
And tell me, how did you and Emma meet and start working together on this seasonal calendar?
Well, when Emma first come down, she and the other researchers come down, like doing some project, like for water, like rivers, creeks, mainly to do like each household was collecting, like during the hunting trips at bush. And then I came up with the idea of like trying to put a seasonal calendar in as well. So I talked to Emma about it, and Emma was like really interested in doing that, so we can like combine it with the research for the water side, and it like fitted perfectly.
And which way? What is the season now there on country?
The season down here at Nauyu is now Urbengencharafal, meaning the new shoots of the spear grass are starting to grow. And then like that tells us there's green plums and black plums and bush potatoes are about like out, and then we like go at collecting them. And it's also time for shark season, like fishing for sharks.
Okay, you get the sharks. What's the name in the river?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. So they're easy to catch?
Yeah, they're easy to catch. Sometimes we got nearly every second day or every day just to we come back with four or five of them.
All right, and good.
Nearly all of them are cooked on the fire and given out to families.
Good tucker, hey?
Yes, it's good tucker.
And which way the crocodiles? What are they doing this time of the year?
Crocodiles, they're not laying eggs. I think the saltwater crocodiles are starting to, start mating, and then they'll start laying eggs.
So you got to be careful when they start doing that, because I imagine they get very protective. Yeah. Oh wow. So and what's the name? And do you use the seasonal calendar in your everyday sort of life, that kind of thing, like teaching young people so that they know this knowledge?
Yes, we use them to follow the different life cycle of the spear grass, and also like we take little ones out too, you know, kids, and we show them what tucker grow at that certain time, and that way then they can, by going out and observing and like listening all the time, and that way they can learn to look for all these different things that they can collect and eat.
Patricia, do you have a favourite season? I understand that your mob got like 13 seasons, maybe more.
13 seasons, yes. My favourite time is like during the dry season, June, July, you know, when the spear grass is dead and it's like all burnt, you know, and the new black ashes on the ground.
Yep.
That's a good time, like for hunting turtles and goannas, and I haven't seen much goanna now because of the cane toads.
Yeah.
But in really good time, and like for all the fish, like especially barramundi and black brim and a couple of them other different sorts of turtles, like in really good time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's my favourite time. And also when it goes up to the humid time, that's when all the lotus lilies are out and we go out collecting all the seeds, and that's a good time.
Oh, I see. You just go crab collecting too, that time.
Crab collecting? We don't have really big crabs up here, like up around near the freshwater side, and up here in Ngengo Korongoro country and Ngengo Omiri country.
Yeah.
We only got them little small crabs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they're not much for eating, or you use it for bait or something like that?
We don't use them much.
No. Okay. No, it's fascinating. What's that name for that season then, that dry season?
Wirirmargu.
Wirirmargu.
Wirirmargu. And I'm translated new black ash.
That's fantastic.
Like when the fire goes through and it just that black ash on the ground. Tawira Marugu, New Ash.
Are you you're happy with the result, with the seasonal calendar, the way that it's turned out?
Yes, I'm really happy because I've been trying. So many other researchers come down trying to. I had that thing in my head, and then I was lucky when Emma and her crew come down, and that's when I thought, oh, this could be my opportunity to sit with these people and try and get them to draw up this seasonal calendar.
So what's the fishing is really good there. What's the name for barramundi?
Achalmer. For the big one, and the smaller ones we call adichi.
Right, but it's not barramundi season right now, is it?
No.
Oh. Look, your country sounds so beautiful. I wish I was there, Patricia. We do have Emma who's been standing by and listening. So, Emma, I forgot to mention, you're more than welcome to jump into the conversation anytime. But Patricia sounds like she's very happy with the work that you guys have been doing.
Yeah, no, Patricia's the expert. I'm not going to jump in. No, it was a wee... I think we had a lot of fun putting the calendar together. It was a serious project in that it was really important that we did it the right way and that the process was the right way, that we only went as fast as what the community wanted to go, which is we were lucky we had enough time to be able to do that. Our whole project went over 3 years, so we continued to go back to Nyoo Nambu to visit Patricia and her family and everyone else in the community during that time. Mm. But we also had fun, I think, doing it. And there were a lot of laughs, I think, at my expense too, in learning about country and learning how to do some turtle hunting and things like that. So considered myself very lucky to have been able to work with Patricia on this project.
Patricia, did you have a name for Emma? Like, did you adopt her to country?
We haven't really thought about adopting. We were too busy, working with her just full on.
Yeah.
But... we welcome her and her crew, and when we took them out, they were just part of the group, like family also.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried teaching everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you just call her Emma, or did you just give her a name or anything like that?
Just Emma.
Just Emma.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, what's her name? It sounded like a lot of hard work, but there were some good times in there by the sounds of it.
Yes, those trips onto country in the build-up, they were a bit challenging. I remember one time us all sitting on a tarpaulin in the shade, but it was, probably 37 degrees and 90% humidity, and I was trying to ask the ladies some questions, and in the end we all looked at each other and we were like, right, let's go back to the community. It was enough. We didn't last that long. It was just too hot.
Fantastic. Well, look, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us here on Let's Talk and for telling us about the calendar. Enjoy the season there. And what do you hope sort of what's next on the cards for you? Because I read that you also... you know, you're a linguist and you've written a dictionary of your language.
Mm.
So what you going to do next?
I don't know yet.
You relax first.
Yeah, just relax.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too, talking to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Nice to meet you. And if I'm ever that way, expect a phone call and say, oh, can I just come? It'd be nice to meet you and to go fishing.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's Patricia Mafara McTaggart, an elder from the Daly River region. Now, back to that question I was going to put to you, Emma, about working, putting that seasonal calendar for Larrakia, because in an urban setting, I guess that had other challenges.
Yes, we worked really closely with Lorraine Williams, who put it together because it can be used again to help teach younger Larrakia kids about language.
But also with this calendar, we're digitising it at the moment. So we're going to have it up online with a set of kind of educational activities as well that go with the calendar. Mm. So it will be available for everyone, you know, schools around Australia who want to use this as a resource and learn about Indigenous knowledge and particularly the Glamorgan seasons.
Yeah, and this one's a little bit different from the Daly River one that that Patricia was talking to us, because the main difference that I see is that it's superimposed on the Gregorian calendar. So yes. The December, November, December, you know, all the months of I guess in the Western sense are named there as well. Is there a reason? Is that what the Larrakia mob wanted? What Lorraine found?
Yeah, it is. So originally when we put together the Daly River one, I asked Patricia, you know, doing, okay, at the moment it's January, it's monsoon season. Oh, right, it's Dala, it's monsoon season in Larrakia country name. And it makes it a little bit easier. If you're not there on country, you know, seeing what's happening, it'd be a little bit hard to figure out actually what Indigenous season it is and what, how that corresponds with month of the year if it's not in the calendar.
Yeah. No, look, they're fantastic resources. They're available on the website, but I think you need a special password to print them.
Oh, just for one of them. Oh. one of the groups we worked with, Wagaman Language Group, have decided that they'd like to sell their calendar.
I see.
So, yeah, they're working out a process of how to do that. But all the others are downloadable off the web.
Yeah.
And if you want copies, you can also contact CSIRO in Darwin and they can send you a copy.
All right. And you're back in Perth, are you?
Yes, I'm back in Perth for a little while.
Yeah.
Come down to visit my family. I'm going to have a baby in 3 weeks.
Oh, well, congratulations then. Hope everything goes plain sailing.
Yes, thank you.
First one?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, you've got a lot of things happening right now, don't you?
Yeah, busy time.
Did the women know that you were pregnant before you?
Well, I hadn't seen them as regularly because we'd finished the calendars, but they picked up on it very quickly when they saw me next.
All right. And you being a researcher and probably head buried in your books probably didn't know.
I wouldn't say I was in denial, but the ladies were very kind.
Well, congratulations and congratulations also on this other baby of yours that you've been working on for how many years now. But I appreciate the time that you've spent with us today.
No, thank you for the time, Karen. It's great that people are interested in this, in the information.
All right. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. Emma Woodward has been our guest. An Indigenous knowledge researcher from the CSIRO. And if you want information about how to access those seasonal calendars, then do give us a call here at the station. I do have the relevant web address where you can find it and be able to have a look at those calendars for yourself. They are fantastic. I wouldn't mind getting a bigger copy and putting it in my office just to have a look at it. Fantastic resource. That is Let's Talk for today, and I'll be with you tomorrow for Let's Talk. We'll be talking about Otitis Media with Annette Smith from the Deadly Ears program, so I hope you can join us for that particular chat. David Hudson is also going to be a guest tomorrow when I return, so I hope you can join us for Let's Talk. If you missed any of today's program, remember that it is repeated after 7 o'clock in the evenings and also overnight here on 98.9 FM. Otherwise, you can get the podcast on our 98.9 FM website at 989fm.com.au and just follow the links to the Let's Talk page. I'm Karen Durandy. I've been standing in for Tiger Bales. He'll be back next Monday here on 98.9 FM. Time for the news.